Golden in the Way, Sisters. Love and Learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy.
The Bitchin' Sisters. As we tell it like it is, the way it was back then and the mess we're in now.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms. And I have to remind you, with limited time left, we've got some practical ideas that might work for you.
And we definitely have some opinions that you might have too.
We'll entertain you and inform you. Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
And if you're young, maybe you can learn something from your elders. Supposedly we're wise, but we've definitely been there and done that.
Yep. I never grew up thinking I wanted to be a clown. But I'll tell you, Janet, it was the most fun I've had in my whole life. It started out back in the 80s when I lived in Maine and I helped a professional clown, Sam the Panto Clown of Portland, as he performed around the city for a living. And I witnessed how much joy he brought to his audiences as he mimed his way through original routines.
I just have to stop you a second. I remember that. I mean, I lived in Wisconsin, you lived in Maine, but I remember my mother said, Nancy's dating a clown.
Oh, no.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. Well, she should have been happy.
Yeah, things could have gotten worse, maybe.
Well, this made a lasting impression on me. So fast forward to a move to Wisconsin in my 40s and teaching 7th grade English and contemplating the idea that I'd like to try my hand at clowning. So one thing led to another, and after attending clown camp at UW La Crosse, created by Richard Snowberg, who just passed away last year, I learned to apply clown makeup, and I bought myself a costume, which Priscilla Mooseburger made, and I decided to call myself Momo, after a child in one of my kindergarten classes couldn't pronounce Ramona, my name at the time. Another long story. So she called me Momo. I was an auguste clown. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. It's a colorful face and mismatched clothes, and you usually played the prankster. You pulled jokes on others, and usually the gag backfired. And someone introduced me to a woman named Connie in our town, and she was also a clown. So we started meeting up and sharing our knowledge of clowning, and she called herself Sparkles, and she was a white-faced clown. As you can imagine, she had almost all white face, and she was beautiful, well-coordinated clothing, sparkles, and white gloves. White-faced clowns are very mannerly. They're never naughty, so we made a really good duo.
Little did I know that there was any difference. I just, you know, clown.
A clown is
clown.
A clown.
Clown.
Well, you know a tramp clown. That's the other clown.
Okay, I do know a tramp.
Yeah. So at clown camp, I met a lot of fellow clowns. So I capitalized on this by getting all their email addresses, and I put together, I don't know if you knew this, a clown unit for my 7th grade English class.
No.
In fact, the other 7th grade teacher joined me, and between the two of us, we had 250 clowns one day. Yeah, it was very easy to incorporate clowning into English. Students interviewed clowns via the emails that I had gotten. Then they wrote paragraphs and essays, essays like what is a clown, and then description essays describe their costume and face. And then they compared the types of clowns like we were just talking about. And then they did like in sequence how to apply clown makeup because they had to do all this.
How is this going to, how are they going to use this?
Well,
you
would not believe it. People who were shy came out.
Hmm.
People who were like crazy got crazier. It was like a miracle. And I even took them, I offered a field trip to Clown College in Baraboo. And there they interviewed graduates.
Oh, because Baraboo has the
Barnum and Bailey Ringling Circus, and they have a circus.
World
there.
Circus Museum.
Yeah. And they interviewed the graduates, so there's the interviewing, and they followed it up by writing essays based on the information that they gleaned.
No, I knew nothing about that.
So I even had Kenny Ahern, he's a former Barnum & Bailey clown, and he still lives in La Crosse, and he came to the middle school and performed for the whole school his gymnastic antics. So I can't tell you how much fun it was to see seventh graders laughing and smiling and interacting to develop funny skits, because we gave this big performance at the high school auditorium for all the kids that were in the elementary school across from the high school. And they did things like they pretended to get bowling balls stuck in their thumb. They changed their mind about being on a high diving board. They became a shy wallflower with an invitation to dance.
I can picture it all.
Yeah, and especially for seventh graders, my goodness. Yeah. The cool boys couldn't all sit on a city bench together because one of them kept passing gas, and others tried to stuff a mailbox with an oversized package. And when a grocery cart died, middle school-age clowns tried to revive it with shock treatment. I mean, it was hysterical. They upchucked while riding a roller coaster, and they discovered a microphone for the first time. They dressed up as penguins, and they found this microphone on the floor.
This ought to be a part of every curriculum.
Middle
school curriculum. I cannot believe it.
Well, the back of my classroom was just full of props and costumes, and the janitor was not real happy with me, but I know that he tried out some of them. As an aside, years and years later, I ran into quite a few of those kids at Walmart, of course, because they worked there. And I brought them the photos I had taken of them, which they were just giddy and eager to have. Anyway, one of the clowns, a seventh grader named Mark, found his calling. And he asked to join Sparkles and me, and he called himself Mr. Mark. Apparently his mom, he told me, had decorated his room as a kid with a clown theme, and it stuck. So we became known as the Cotton Candy Clowns. And eventually we added two more to our group, Dot and Nini. Occasionally, others joined us, even some of those seventh graders. And our professional life began as we hired out, really, for corporations, parades, the Boy Scouts, care centers, churches, birthdays. Do you remember when one time we went to where Mom was in Toma at a care center and we did a whole thing, a whole presentation there?
No.
Well, you name it, we clowned it. I even bought a truck to carry all our stage props around in. So we have all kinds of skit ideas that we got from clown camp and ideas on what we could do for magic. We all had to have a specialty and something that we could do that the other clowns in our group did not possess. So for me,
what did you do?
I was a face painter. That was pretty easy. Sparkles was the balloon tire, and Mr. Mark was our magician. I never talked either. Instead, I mimed with clown music playing in the background. We also had acts that we performed. My signature act was with a bright yellow box that I made out of foam board. I taped it together, and it was big enough to hold a small child. So then I would go to the thrift store before a performance, and I bought cheap, like, Raggedy Ann type dolls. I always had like two of them in the box. And then before the performance, I would go to a young audience member who, with his parental consent, that child would help me out during the skit. So nobody knew about it.
I always knew it was like that.
My performance consisted of finding the box and opening it to find a doll, loving it up, and then seeing someone in the audience who looked like they wanted it. And then I would feign, you know, having a hard time parting with it, but eventually I gave it away. And then I repeated the process with the second doll, but then when I discovered there were no more dolls, I pretended to cry, and then I saw a little person in the audience, my little helper, come forward, took my hand, and got in the box.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
I thought maybe you were going to put the kid in the box and then pull out a little doll. And so it turned out into a...
I'm not a magician. No, I was elated and everyone clapped for me. And then I'd open the box, the girl would get out, and the audience would clap again for her as she took a bow. So Mr. Mark had a skit called The Human Chair. You ever hear that?
No.
He arranged...
Well, I do. I know that people can somehow get together and do things and then...
Yeah.
Keep going.
So he arranged four buckets in a square touching each other, like big five-gallon buckets.
Yeah.
And then he called up four people from the audience. They didn't know ahead of time. And then after the four... Oh, this was like he said that there were four acrobats in the wings, but they never came out. So then he'd ask for four helpers from the audience. And then... they would lay their back on the lap of the person behind them.
Yeah.
And then that created like a square loop. Uh-huh. And then he removed one bucket at a time, creating the illusion of being suspended in air.
Yeah.
He'd bow and everyone would clap. And then
I've seen it done.
Oh, he'd start to exit, leaving them suspended. Yeah. And then he'd come back and put the buckets back so they could get up.
I have a friend who did that kind of thing, Josh. And he also did things like, it wasn't clowning, but he had a bed of nails. And
oh,
he'd
yes.
get kids to lie on the... And then he would, he hammered a nail up, a huge nail up his nostril.
Oh, boy.
He put a mouse trap on his... Why weren't you on his lip? He would flip a mouse trap on his lip or tongue. Why weren't you doing that, Nancy? That would have really been funny to me.
That would have been sick to me. Anyway, doing birthdays was fun. And then
you did this for years.
Yeah, I did it for years when Gene was alive, and he always helped out. My favorite gig, though, was doing parades. So getting there was half the fun. You don't realize it, but we'd cram into my truck, and then when a car would pass us, they'd look over and see all these clowns in the truck. And we had to be careful because we didn't want to be held liable for causing an accident. So that was really fun. Then sometimes we'd walk in a parade, and other times we constructed a float. When we'd walk, my favorite prop was a straw with a fake daisy out of the top of it. And I had a gazillion straws in my pocket. So I'd seek out a little person in the crowd, and I'd squat down and offer them the flower. And then when they'd reach for the stem, I'd be holding the flower part. So all they'd have a hold of is the straw. And their faces were priceless. Mm-hmm. And another prop I had was a humongous camera that I wore around like a necklace. And you could tell it was fake. The lens was a 33 LP that I glued in the center. It was a big piece of foam board.
Yeah, way big.
And then I'd go up to a bunch of people on the side and get them together. Mm-hmm. And then fake taking a picture of mm-hmm. them. And then I'd hold up a picture that I had in a flap in the back of the camera.
It
was a giant picture of the cotton candy clowns. Then I'd run off and move on to the next family.
Yeah.
1 year I was in a parade that was about 3 miles long, and I chose a prop that the hardware man in town, Mr. Sagehorn, helped me build. It was a long PVC pipe with a saucer and a see-through giant teacup at the very top. And on it I wrote Sparta Sewer. And then we paraded in Toma, our rival. So I pretended to balance the teacup on my chin the entire parade route. But let me tell you, try looking up for 3 miles while also staggering around the street and not running into anybody. I never did that prop
again. Were you wearing
giant
clown shoes?
Yes,
too?
my red Mary Jane wears. And walking back to your vehicle after a parade, you can't walk back like a regular person
because kids.
You're in clown outfit.
Oh.
Yeah. So the kids would see you as their parents walk them back to the car, and you have to stay in character.
Hmm.
I made it a point to always carry those fake flowers and straws with me. So 1 year I broke my ankle, so I had a cast on, but we made a float for the parade, and we had a clown operating table. And Mr. Mark pretended to operate on me, and he'd throw out rubber chickens and small plungers and rulers, you name it, out of my stomach. The other clowns were nurses who picked up the debris and tried to hold me down. And each time he removed something, I would flap my arms and try to get up, but my casted leg was tied into a sling hanging up in the air.
Well, oddly enough, I think that influenced me because I was working in the marketing department of Vernon Memorial Hospital, and they had a logo that was like three little heads, of, a stylized logo. And I came up with the idea of the happy healers. So I took that logo and put happy faces on them.
Yeah.
And then we had a float in we had to have a float in various parades, and we had a pretend surgeon, with a fake chainsaw operating on patients. People loved it. They absolutely loved it.
How neat.
I thought it was funny too, but I didn't realize that because I had thought this up, that I was going to have to do it over and over, because I am not like you. I did not want to be in a parade as a clown, but I had to help recruit people to do this, so I had to do that. Well, one time it was going to be the 4th of July parade, and I was going to be in it. And my son, Sam, said he was coming to see the parade because he said, I wouldn't miss seeing you as a clown for anything in the world. So, you know, I didn't have the same love for it that you did, but...
Well, that, you know, you touched your inner child.
That's it.
And so what made us disband? For me, I needed glasses, and though I tried contact lenses, the makeup and fake eyelashes took its toll when the heat and the sweat got in my eyes.
That's interesting.
And it's not good for a face painter not to be able to see what you're doing. So, and I tried wearing them one time in a parade, and I just felt like it was not Momo. And people could tell who I was because of my glasses. So as for Mr. Mark, he went on to work at Disney.
Wow.
Yeah, in Orlando, all from the seventh grade unit.
Unbelievable.
And his mom making the clown theme.
Yeah.
And he also was at the Minnesota Renaissance Fair. And he just recently stopped doing that. He designed costumes and eventually started drifting away from his clowning gigs. And Sparkles, she went back to her duties as a secretary for the school superintendent, and her career as a professional clown waned too. So after looking at my costume hanging limply in my closet, I sent it to my son and asked him to deliver it to a student clown group looking for donations. So,
are there student clown groups looking for donations?
Up in the cities, there were.
Okay.
Well, I still have a binder full of skits and photos, letters from famous clowns, and handouts from Clown College.
Yeah.
They represent, for me, a time in my life that I look back on fondly as when I unleashed my inner child and I was able to bring joy to others, just like I witnessed with my main clown friend. Forget those crazy clowns on TV that scare you. The clowns that make you laugh and tickle your funny bone as they turn life upside down are to be commended for spending their time with you, hoping that for just a little while you'll forget about all your responsibilities and the stress of life and just take a break from being an adult and bask in your inner child.
Nancy and I come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious, some are just our crazy opinions. We hope you enjoy our show. Music by Hall and Sidnor.